Well, just before I came up here, I was reminded of the image I saw one time many years ago. Sometimes you have a vision or an image or you see something. You know, I was trained how to have healing services. And the Lord showed me, because the way I was trained was to make it really showy. You know, wave your hand at the crowd, have the whole crowd fall out. You know, someone gets healed, you make it, you know, make it a big performance almost. And the Lord told me one time, He said, when the anointing comes, it's up to the preacher how he delivers that anointing. And so, the same thing when the word comes or when a vision comes, how you tell the story, how you disperse the anointing of God is decided by the preacher. And He said, you can either do it in a manner where you look good, or you can do it in a manner that God gets all the glory. And that's what He told me, was you have to decide, how are you going to tell your stories? How are you going to pray for the sick, cast out demons? Sometimes when you pray for someone who's broken, you can make a big show out of it, and really it doesn't need to have a big show, you know. So anyways, that's why I say when I had an image, I want to be careful when I say those things, not to make it look like it was a spectacular moment of great visitation from God, you know. I had a visitation from God one time, you know. The heavens opened up and you know. But I was worshiping God on our floor. This is before Harrison was born. I was using his nursery to be. And I was just worshiping God, saying, I worship you, I glorify you, I magnify you, I exalt you, I love you. And after a little while, I said, I love you, and I heard, I love you more. Do you ever have someone annoying like that when you say, I love you, and they say, I love you more? You're like, how do you know you love me? You don't love me more. You know, it's like, but usually they're right, you know. And they're like, I love you more, and you're like, ah. But I actually heard in my spirit God tell me, respond to me, I love you more. And man, I got so excited. I was like, I worship you. I glorify you. I began to cry. And as I was worshiping, every time I said, I love you, He responded, I love you more. And that went on for a little while. And then after I finished worshiping God, I thought, hallelujah. I broke through heaven. That's what I thought. I broke through my flesh and got hold of heaven. And God heard me. And that's when I had another image where He showed me what happened. And I saw myself standing there in this, over here in this kind of room. And it was me sitting there worshiping God. And then I was also on the outside of this veil of flesh, this thick. You pushed it was a big curtain of flesh. You pushed it, it'd be, you can see little hairs and dimples and pimples and everything. And you know, if you push it, blah, 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 blah. Big curtain of flesh between me, where I was, and me in this room with God. And every time I lifted my hand on the outside and said, I love you, I worship you, I saw myself on the inside do the exact same thing. But the thing was, God was there the whole time telling me He loves me and fellowshipping with me. So what the Lord showed me was, it wasn't that I finally broke through to heaven or my spirit finally reached God. It was that even though I didn't know it, even though I couldn't hear it, every time I say I love you, there was a conversation going on between me and my Father, between my spirit and my Father. All that happened in that moment was I got close enough through my flesh to hear the conversation that had been going on the whole time. And so when you're under a battle of circumstances, and that's what I'm being blessed to preach about this season, is walking through my circumstances, you know, because this is just circumstances. And how many know that circumstances change all the time? Yeah. But God never changes. His word never changes. His truth never changes. And that's the power of the gospel. That's the message of the gospel. It's a message of life and light, a message of strength, a message of hope. Any message that comes that doesn't give you hope is not gospel. Gospel is good news, not bad news. I got bad news for you. Maybe bad news for your flesh. Bad news for self-serving and different things, but not bad news for you, because you're a spirit, and God talks to you spiritual to spiritual. The moment you're saved, you can your spirit man hears God and begins to grow into that nature of who He made you. Everything we need comes from Him. Amen. And it's easy to say that. It's romantic to say that. God, you're all I need. But there comes a place in this walk where the enemy will make sure to prove that it's not just you saying, God, you're all I need, but you're saying, God, you're all that I have. Because of the flesh, it's impossible to see revival. So many believers are searching for a experience of the emotions of the flesh. And as a pastor, I can tell you how many services I've been in where I pastored a group of people. Pastoring meant meaning that you're involved with their life, helping them to overcome things and hearing them struggle with things. And an evangelist would come in, and his sole goal that night was to get you excited about the hope that things would change. And the moment you got excited about the hope that things would change, to him, that was victory. That was faith. See, the definition of faith for that preacher was, if you get excited, then you'll start saying, I believe it's going to change. I had one girl, for instance, she was struggling with an old boyfriend that she had lived with and kind of prostituted her out, and she was really broken on the inside. And so this evangelist was preaching away, and I mean, he got everyone shouting, and she all of a sudden said, do you mean, I can tell, like you can do you mean I can get free from this? Yes! And she started to shout and holler, because she thought the freedom from that damage was going to come from laying on hands at the service. That's where I came up with the line, I can cast out demons, but I can't cast out flesh. Because she got excited, and I can tell you, she ran up to the altar weeping. He grabbed her by the hair, put his hands on her head, and said, honey, you're free tonight. Hallelujah. And we know that by Scripture, she is free. But you know, you can be damaged in your emotions. And it takes time sometimes through the Word of God, through trusting God, through trusting that the Word of God is truth, and how you feel about yourself is not true. And so she got so excited, she fell in the Spirit, she cried, he cast the devil out of her, she screamed. It was quite a performance. Not on her part, on his part. And then he stood up victoriously as she lay there weeping. She's free, hallelujah. And then, you know, evangelists get to come in, blow in, blow up, and blow out, you know. So he blew out of town to the next place, and she was excited. So excited about being free, not having to deal with those emotions for about 3 days. And then they started to creep back, the thoughts, the feelings of failure, the feelings of guilt. And that's when the pastor had to come in and say, look, you got to walk this through. And we would have young people come in. I remember the Lord talking to me. We had young people come in, and you see them get set free. You watch them in the altar. They get saved and set free from drugs right there in front of you. And I asked God one time. I said, God, the Word says the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. I said, the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. And I said, God, this young man came in. I can list probably 50 of them or more. who came into the church, came in on drugs, probably got tricked to come into the church, came in, came to the altar, got set free, and fell out, got born again gloriously, praying in tongues. And for the next 6 weeks, we'd watch them there first in the church, worshiping God, jumping up and down, excited. Then 6 weeks later, they disappear. And they go back under what they fell to. And I said, God, the Lord, you said the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. And the Lord just told me, said, say that again. I said, the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. He said, say that again. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Say that again. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. And I said it probably 100 times. And all of a sudden, I realized, oh, the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Not Mr. Bondage. And not what's in you that is desiring the brokenness in your flesh, your emotions. That's desiring that bondage. So when that young man comes and he gets set free, what got destroyed? The yoke got destroyed. But Mr. Bondage is going to come back 6 weeks later when you're tired, when you're lonely, when you're depressed, when you're hurt. Mr. Bondage comes back and he comes with another yoke to try to tempt you. And that's the role of praying. See, that's when I would tell him, say, look, instead of saying you're free, dance and celebrate, I would say, okay, celebrate for tonight, but tomorrow we go to work. Because Mr. Bondage is going to come back to try to use the brokenness in you. Because, you know, people don't do drugs because they like drugs. People don't drink alcohol and get drunk because they like to drink. It's what it does for them. I was raised in an alcoholic family. I can tell you, it's not the drinking. It's the wave of quieting the emotions for some people. It's the running from hurt. That's the reason they run to drugs and alcohol. It's not because they like to do drugs. It's because of what it does for them. And saying, look, Mr. Bondage is going to come back. You got 6 weeks to work by praying in tongues and confessing the word and finding out who you are. To work it and begin to remove that part of you so that you won't have to struggle so hard to be free. You're already free, but he's going to try to get you. And if you fail, guess what? The blood of Christ is there. Don't hide. Get back and keep walking. Because if you're like me or like any one of us, we will struggle with things and continue to struggle as we overcome. That's why we're overcomers. Amen? The grace of God is His power that's for you. You don't ever have to be strong. You just have to be humble. So whatever circumstances that's weighing on you right now, whatever they are, and there's a grace here right now, there's a presence of God here right now to give us strength. So whatever is weighing on you that says you failed, no one of God's children deserve any punishment. Any discipline such as sickness, disease, poverty, affliction, persecution, that doesn't come from God. And it's not earned. It comes from this world, from the enemy. So any guilt you have is cleaned by the blood of Christ. His grace is your strength, even if you are struggling in an area. His grace is your strength. Don't give up. And if you feel that He doesn't hear you, because that's what circumstances sent by the enemy are for, to try to convince you He doesn't hear you. To convince you, hey, you're not good enough. The guy next to you, look at him prosper. You're so dysfunctional. Your family can't get together and not fight. Your bank account keeps acting weird all the time. Everything the enemy sends to you is to try to tell you this one thing. Don't even ask God for help, because He's not going to give it to you. But see, all that is a lie, because the moment you lift your hand up, as we've been saying. You got a ton of circumstances, darkness sitting on your shoulders, telling you whatever. There's one light that the devil always gives. Always remember, when the devil sends 1,000 tons of circumstances, there's always a little open door of light that he gives you to answer your problem. And that's where we usually try to escape to. Say, oh, hallelujah. God sent me the way out. And God's not interested in us escaping the circumstances. Because the next time the devil doesn't like what you're doing, he'll send some more. And he'll train you how to keep taking his doors instead of God's doors. So when you have a ton of circumstances sitting on you, that's when you reach your little hand up through those circumstances and God is right there. You may not hear him. You may not feel him. But he's right there. Because his grace is always there. So whatever you're fighting with, the first thing I want to share is, let's get rid of the guilt of not being worthy. Because it doesn't matter if you were perfect, you're still not worthy. It's by Christ that we're worthy. The only reason we're worthy is because of who Christ made us. Amen. Not because of anything we've done. That's the only reason. See, in my circumstance, I'm fighting a battle with health. Well, I don't know if I can say it that way. I was hit with one moment of damage to my body, and now I'm recovering. But I've been healed the whole time. And you might say, well, if you believed, you wouldn't be sick. And I would tell you, technically, you are correct. Because the blood of Christ has defeated sickness already. Christ on the cross took every bit of sickness. So the standing that I have is that I know that I'm healed. See, the gospel is good news. Say that with me. The gospel is good news. And so that statement, the only reason you're not healed is you don't believe, is a true statement. But if you don't finish it, it can leave a guilt and condemnation on a person. Now for me, I'm tough enough, I can take it. But for some people, they may just feel, well, geez, I'm just not good enough. That's why I'm sick. God doesn't hear my prayers. I haven't prayed enough. I haven't confessed enough. I haven't done enough. The truth of it is, we don't ever judge. Let me just tell you as a pastor, we don't ever judge someone's battles. Because until you walked in their shoes, you don't know where they came from. You know what they've been through. You don't know what they're struggling through. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what genes they started with. My dad was born with no fingers on his left hand. So for him to get his fingers back is going to take more believing than for you to keep your fingers. So for a person to be born with some kind of struggles in their life or natural deformities or DNA that says, you know, your mama died of cancer, you're destined to have the same problem. You may have more of a struggle to walk through, to believe, because you have to focus on that area more than someone else. But don't judge yourself for that. That's the guilt of not being good enough. The other guilt is, I did it to myself. You know, my dad smoked. He said the easiest thing to do was quitting smoking. He did it 1,000 times, he said. And so he ended up with having heart problems and that because of smoking. The word of God is true no matter the circumstances, whether you cause it yourself or whether it's from the DNA in your sickness in your body, the answer is still the same. It's the truth, the word of God. Not you trying to give God something to prove that you're good enough. Because what makes you good enough to receive is only one thing. It's never the work that you do. It's always the work that he's already finished. Because the devil's defeated right now in every single area. But I think, you know, I've been preaching about this for a while. And then, if you don't know, on January the 8th, I had a stroke. And kind of surprised me a little bit. I did everything I knew to do spiritually, but It's just the way it is. That's why I say it is what it is. It's, I'm not accepting it. It's just I have to walk through this. Or I can just roll up and don't get a job doing something else. But we don't change what we believe because of what happens. The Word of God is truth. And the Word that God spoke to you. Do you ever sit in a prayer line? I sit in standard prayer lines thinking I'm going to get rebuked. Here it comes. And then you hear, God's so pleased with you. And He begins to talk about your future, and you're looking, is He... I must have the good usher behind me or something here. Why is He talking to me like that? It's because He's not afraid of your struggles. He's not afraid of your problems. He's not afraid of your past, your weaknesses. He sees past that because He's given us everything we need to get through every battle. So I want us to get past guilt of, well, I don't believe. That's why I'm having this problem. Because if I believed, I'd have a big house. My family would be normal. I'd be healthy. You know, and it's funny how, you know, it's a... don't mind me as I bark a little bit, but I used to take all the guest speakers to the airport when I was a young guy. And some of the biggest faith preachers. There were one man. He was a great preacher. Great, great, great preacher. And a good man. But one of his messages was basically, if you don't have perfect health, then it's because you failed in your believing. Well, when I went to pick him up from the airport, take him to the airport, the hotel room, I got there and he was running late. So I knocked on the door. He said, come on in. And it was a suite. So he was in the bedroom getting ready and I was by the front door and the bathroom was right there. And I'm a little snoopy. So I was looking in the bathroom and there in the bathroom was makeup and false teeth, hearing aid, and who knows what else there was. But he was an elderly man, don't get me wrong. And I'm not judging him for having that, but to preach that the only reason you have a bug bite or a scratch or a bruise or, you know, anything is, or gray hair is, hey, because you don't believe. How many know that those times come and when we get to heaven and in the new world, new earth, we're not going to have gray hairs and sickness or disease or pain or sorrow. But in this life, we have to walk through it. And when you have to walk through it for whatever reasons, whether it be bad luck, whether it be... Because you don't get to choose where you start. Do you understand that? Let's make it clear. You don't get to choose where you start with your flesh. You were born in what country was picked by Adam. You were born in the family that was picked by Adam, in the body that was picked by Adam. That wasn't God's choice for you. And... But when you were born again, that spirit man that came to life, that came to existence, that's who you really are. And so that now you're stuck with this old flesh that still carries you around this earth, and it's your job to overcome everything it tries to throw at you. Say amen if I'm doing okay. Too many of the American-style church preaches a standard that says, okay, if you live this good, then you're faith. You have this kind of car, this kind of house, this kind of spouse, these kind of kids, this kind of health. You live by faith. Everything under that line, you fail in faith. Okay, and that works if you're raised, if you were lucky enough to be born in a normal type family, normal type parents, normal type body. Whatever. It's lucky enough if you're not dysfunctional. But you cross that line, you're in the club. You're in the faith club. Hallelujah, I'm a man of faith. Don't cheat on your wife. Don't cheat on your taxes too much. Don't yell at your kids too much. And you're good. Believe God for more. For more for yourself and more to give extra to the gospel. But for those of us who find dysfunction and have been raised not right or have to fight extra hard at different things, you can't cross that line. So what happens? A couple things happen to that group, which is probably a majority of the people in the world. They go find another preacher who will tell them, you're okay the way you are. They'll go find another preacher who will tell them, God made you who you are. So accept it. They'll go find another preacher who will tell them, hey, you faith means that you accept whatever you have. Whatever sickness you have, because you just trust God, there's a reason for it. Or they give up on God. See, the people under that cannot get there in the natural. I thank God for my dysfunction sometimes. Because in the natural, they think they're getting it, but they're not. It's all in the natural. It's all in the flesh. And good flesh is as bad as bad flesh. It's still flesh. It's just hiding is all it is. Hallelujah. So His grace, it's really all you need. His grace, which is His strength. So if you're going through a battle and things aren't looking like they're supposed to look like, I've been confessing the Word. I believe in the Word. I've been doing everything I've been taught to do and I know to do. And I know I'm following God. But circumstances aren't agreeing with it. How many know what I'm talking about? What do I do? What do I do? Is it because I failed? It's not because you failed. Is it because you don't believe? Let me redefine that as saying in my circumstance. I have found out that my revelation for healing has not fully been completed yet. Because if it was, if I spoke the Word and believe in my heart, I'd have whatever I say. So I found that I have not completed the revelation of my miracle yet. I know that my healing has taken place, and I know that it will be complete and manifest fully. Whether it's today during the service, or whether it's whenever. Faith doesn't wear a watch. Faith agrees with the Word and says, by God, the Word is true and everything else is a lie. Amen. But don't tell me I don't believe. You can tell me my revelation is being completed in healing, but don't you dare tell me I don't believe. Because every day I get up and I speak the Word and I pray in the Holy Ghost and I make plans for the prophecies that God's given to me because He believes. So I should believe too. And He believes in you. So you should believe too. You don't have to believe in yourself. Just believe that He believes in you. That's all you have to remember. And His grace is enough. When you feel like you failed, because there's things called setbacks. Say setbacks. Setbacks are things where you start walking towards your victory. You make a decision. Okay, this is where I'm at. I'm having struggles in my family. I'm having struggles in my finances. Or in my health. When I talk about health, I want to be clear. I will never tell you or never accept that the devil has the right to do this to a person because Jesus already defeated him in that area. But it's the same principles of faith, of grace, of walking through what I'm walking through as it is with what you're walking through. You don't quit. You get up every day and you keep walking. His grace is your strength to get up. When you feel like you're failing, when you have a setback, you're doing good, things are looking good, all of a sudden, boom, things don't look good all of a sudden. Something new hits you. I don't know if you've been through that season, but I know with my walk through this, I've had seasons of doing good, and don't tell me to listen to my old messages, because people say, you should listen to the old messages. They help me get through stuff. I'm like, shut up. But it looks like everything's starting to get better. Then all of a sudden, it looks like it gets worse. Things look like one step forward, two steps back. That's the enemy trying to push you back because he sees you walking forward. A setback is when you have to dig your heels in deeper and say, bless God, even more so, I won't change course. I won't believe the lie of the enemy that there is a pathway to my calling that won't cost me my life. There is no pathway to your calling that won't cost you your life. The only pathway to your calling without your life is one of religion that the devil has formed for you. And you can go do good works. And again, we don't judge anyone who changes course or accepts a nice little church that, you know, go to church for an hour on a Sunday and that's it. And they're happy. Pastor Dave always says it's people pay you good money to tell them they're okay. If you're a preacher, don't change course. His grace is enough. And when you feel like no one hears you, when you feel that loneliness come upon you, when you feel that shadow of darkness come around you, it says you're all alone, no one knows what you're going through, no one notices you, no one cares about you, even God doesn't care about you. Don't go on Facebook and look at everyone's happy smiles. And don't go looking at everyone else saying, look how happy they are. They don't bums. And I'm just a failure. Don't go looking at your past. Look, I wish I would have done this. I wish I could have done this, or maybe I should have done that. Stop yourself right there. And look to Him, because He's right there. You may not feel Him. You may not hear Him. He's right there. And He doesn't have bad news for you. He has good news for you. Don't quit walking the way He told you to walk. Thank you, Father. I'm thinking of the verse. I can't go there right now. But they moved the ark from a temple. And I haven't studied this for a while, so you have to excuse me. They moved the ark from a temple. It was captured, and the god kept falling over, and the hands fell off, and the head fell off. And finally they said, we got to send it back. Send it back to Israel. But the king said, well, what we'll do is we'll take a mother cow, and you put a yoke on it in a harness, and put the ark on top of the trailer or whatever, cart. And if the mama cow will take it away to Israel, we know it's God. We know it's God who's been doing all this trouble because we messed with Him. Because in a mother cow's nature, it's going to sit there with its calf. And it says that cow went off towards Israel, or I'd say complaining all the way. I don't know what cows do, mooing all the way. Because it was wanting to stay where it was with its calf. But it obeyed God. And that's your flesh. Your flesh will complain no matter where you go if you obey God. Obeying God will always cause your flesh to fight you. Your flesh will let you do good things for God and serve God and do all kinds of great things. But it'll never let you obey God without complaining and whining and trying to pull you back. And it's tricky, your flesh. It'll come up with 1,000 logical reasons. You know, take a puzzle and it'll put it together. Do you ever have an argument with someone where you know they did something and you have put together all the pieces of the puzzle? They said this a month ago, then I saw them over there then, and this then, I heard this, and you said that. I knew it! That's how it is! And it's usually your spouse. But when you dig down a little deeper, you find out that the puzzle you put together is wrong. But that's how your flesh does. It'll put together a puzzle that makes complete sense and logic. And they'll say, let's go. I'm going to give you what you're after. Are you after peace? Are you after power to bless people? Are you after... your flesh will offer that to you. Romans chapter 8. been talking about Nehemiah off and on. Nehemiah, he is someone who was going to go build the temple wall back after it was destroyed. And he was going to do a good work for God. And as he was going to do that, he found persecution. And they came to stop him. And you would think that when you do good things for God, you're supposed to get good things back. But that wasn't his case. And in it, they try to trick him and try to trick him to go hide in the temple. And I love what he said. In fact, we'll go there. Hold your fingers in Romans 8 and come with me in Nehemiah chapter 6. Verse 11. I'm just going to read this. He says, "And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." And I've adopted this statement for me, and I think it's a good statement for anyone who's going through a battle. Who am I that I should flee? Who am I that I should go hide? I will not. And that's what you can tell your flesh. That's what we can tell any person who tries to judge you for what you're going through. Because people will try to judge you when you go through battle. Well, this is what I did to fix my problem. And you want to say, well, honey, if you really knew my problem, you don't have the answers for me. Only God has the answers for me. And I'm doing what he's telling me to do. Well, obviously it's not working. Because if you follow God like me, you'd have a nice house like me, a nice family like me, a nice car like me. And look at your car. Look at your house. You should do what I say. Because the world has the answers to try to make you happy. But God has the answers for his servants to fulfill his calling on this earth. To bring a revival that is not just full of miracles, but full of truth. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Again, we're talking about how this love of Christ is not his love towards you. Because how many know he loves us? He loves the world. When you were the worst sinner there was, he still loved you the same as he does today. And there's no one he loves less than you. Even if you're perfect today in here, he loves me just the same. He doesn't love people less than others. So there's no way anything can remove the love of Christ towards a person. Even the ones in hell, he loves them. I was on TV in Canada and they said, well, can you tell us why God sends people to hell? And I said, well, God doesn't send people to hell. And they stopped and they almost stopped the show because like, oh, we got one of these guys, you know. I said, no, God's a judge. He tells you where you're going. But God didn't send people to hell. Adam sent the whole world to hell. And God's been trying to rescue us ever since. See, the love of Christ doesn't change because of your decision making. He loves you. So this love that he's talking about here is different because this is something you can get pulled away from. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm convinced that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And they were trying to take these Christian Roman Jews who were born again and try to get them back under the law, trying to get them back under condemnation. You need to do this. You need to at least do the feast. You need to at least do this. You need to at least be circumcised. In Galatians, Paul says, one of the funniest statements in all of the Bible. If you're Canadian or you have a dry sense of humor, you'll get it. He said, I wish they would just cut themselves off. Because they've been trying to get them to get circumcised, the Galatians. And he's like, I wish they'd just cut themselves off. See, you got to have a dry sense of humor to catch that one. So he's telling them, don't let anything separate you, no matter what they do. Don't let nothing can separate you, no matter what hell throws against you. You don't have to be separated from this love. This love is not God's love towards you. He's talking here about a path that God puts you on if you'll let Him, a path that has persecution and struggles and famine and many different things to stop you. This path the devil hates. He's afraid of this path. He's afraid of you living on this path because of where it's going to take you. And so the moment you start walking on this path, that's the moment things start turning bad. And you're wondering, wait a minute. I was a good faith guy, believing God for all kinds of great things, great life, great ministry. Pastor Dave came along and said, hey, pray in tongues and it'll change you. And I said, well, heck, I've tried everything else to change. I've tried discipline. I've tried casting the devil out of myself. I've tried everything. I've tried authority. Devil, get out of here in Jesus' name. Ah, he runs off. He's back. You get out of here and you go to hell and don't ever come back. Ah, in Jesus' name. You again? What are you doing here? I told you to never come back. You know, I tried all the tricks to try to get free or to walk in the freedom that I had, but I kept falling and failing. So here he says, look, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You're already conquerors. You don't fight from a place of defeat trying to get victory. Let me preach this for a moment. Again, I'm trying to be careful because my circumstance, my battle has been recovering from a stroke, a recovery where the doctor said I would not recover from. But already some doctors are changing their minds. And so that's my battle. And but we'll never give the devil power or give the devil that say that he can do this to you like he can take your money. He can come and mess with your finances. But it's the same principles to walk through it is what I'm trying to get to, okay? That we walk through the same way that every circumstance, we walk through the same way. And that means that you lift your hand up every day and you worship God to not blame him. And to thank him that the victory's already done. And you worship God to thank him that it's not your fault. In other words, maybe you had made a wrong choice or opened the door for the devil, as they say. Or maybe you did something in your past. The word of God is still true. You're still a child of God. You can still walk into fullness of what he has for you. You worship God every day. You don't quit. You get up every day. You pray in tongues. Why do I pray in tongues? Because I need to see who I really am. There's a place in God where we can walk, where the authority of who we are, we're not ever moved by what we see, but we keep walking into who we are. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, we are more than conquerors. We're not the conquerors. You're not fighting the devil. You're not fighting him like, I'm going to beat you. Jesus already defeated the devil. You're proving to him through faith that you won't move, you won't change course. You're fighting from a place of victory. You're not fighting from a place to try to get victory. And it's an understanding that is very important to know. Because when you're trying to fight for a place of victory, you keep trying to fix yourself, to change yourself. To say, I need to get better for God before God will give this to me. You need to give me $100 so you can get a tenfold return or a hundredfold return. Or I'll give you a thousandfold return. You need to give to get God to bless you. You need to do to get God to do something for you. Everything that needs to be done has already been done. But the work that needs to be done is to change what we believe. And we start with Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm not sick trying to get healed in front of you today. I'm already healed. I know I'm healed. Every day I get up, I thank God I'm healed. And there's some people who fight harder than I fight, who have a bigger fight than I do. And listen, when you're fighting the sickness, you begin to, everything's a job. Walking across the street, you should see me walk across the street. Cars stop, waiting for me to go. I try to hurry, you know. And my pet peeve is when someone opens the door for me. I don't mind to open the door for me when I'm right there, but usually I'm like 100 feet away and they go, "Oh, you have a cane. Let me open the door for you," and they hold it open. And all the air conditioning is coming out of the building. And you're like, "Dude, I got another 5 minutes before I get there." You know, I'm trying. You know. And so when you're fighting a health issue, everything's amplified because everything you do takes more work. Just, you have to think about things that regular folks don't think about. So don't let anyone judge you. Don't let anyone judge you. Don't hide. If you're fighting with something, if you're fighting with alcohol and Saturday night you go out and get drunk, come to church Sunday morning. Come hungover. We'll know you're hungover. And we'll love you anyway. Don't hide because you're battling. The church is not supposed to be a place of conquerors only. It's to be a place of overcomers welcome. While you're overcoming, come on in. Bring your mess with you, and you're going to find grace and love and truth while you deal with your mess. But you're going to win if you don't quit. But the winning isn't with how strong you are. It's with how much you receive of His grace as your strength. So when you want to get up and pray in tongues and you feel you can't, that's not true. His grace is there. You have His strength. You can do it. When you want to get up and confess the word and you feel like, "I can't," yes, you can. Yes, you can. When you want to go to church and you feel like you can't, yes, you can. And adopt what Nehemiah says. They may judge me for my past mistakes. They may judge me for what I'm going through. They may look at me and say, "Look at the car you drive. Look at the, you know, hey, where's your spouse? They used to come to church with you. Where'd they go?" Get in church. Don't stop. Don't hide. You don't have to hide because you're on a road to victory. Nothing shall separate us. You're not fighting from a place trying to get victory. You're fighting from a place of victory. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He's convinced that nothing will separate us from the love of God. No matter what comes against you, whether it's principalities or powers, no matter where it comes from, life or death, nothing has the power. Apostle Paul was sitting there, and he preached the gospel, and they took him out to the hill out of town, and they started to stone him. And you know what stoning is. You take a big rock and you throw it at you. And a bunch of people. And I bet it hurt. And then, you know, he woke up alive. You know, and I'm sure the apostles, the ones who are the guys who are following him, were all like, "Paul, what do we do now? We followed you." Then he woke up and he went back to go preach there. Is he a crazy man or what? Even the same people that stoned him are the ones that he said, "God, please take my life. Take my eternity. Send me to hell for them." So they go to heaven. I wish he wished, he wanted so bad. He loved that road of love will take you to a place that the world will not understand. Natural mind will never understand the place that God's trying to take you, that love is trying to take you. That path of love will bring all that kind of persecution and attack and struggles, and every weakness in your life will be amplified as the devil tries to pick apart your armor, the armor of God. He will try to stop you. But even if he finds a little chink in your armor that you're wearing, don't get defeated. Get up and keep walking and don't hide. I was in the hospital, and I want to tell the story because Gary picked on me last Sunday, so I thought he's telling the story, and I thought, okay, one of the rules Pastor Dave always tells us when you preach, don't preach out of your own mind, because if you preach out of your own mind, people don't understand. You got to preach out of their mind. And so I told the story of when I was in the hospital in the ICU, laying there on the slab, and my left side wasn't working, and Tim and Gary and Dave came in, and I said, first thing Gary said was, didn't you just preach on Job on Sunday? And I was like, man, if you didn't, I would knock you out. But from my mind, you have to understand what I was saying, because I'm assuming from your mind you might have thought he was picking on me, but he wasn't picking on me, he was pastoring me. I got just clarifying this right now for the tape. Gary's a good pastor. And he was just telling me how, look, the end of Job, you win. That's what you preached. That's what you're preaching, that when these fights come, you're going to win. And the end of Job is what we look at. It doesn't mean we don't look at the struggle of Job, but we look at the end of Job. We look at the end of the book, we win. We always win. There's no losing in the gospel. Even if someone fights a good fight and they're struggling, listen, I'd rather go down fighting with sickness, and you never lose no matter what. And we don't judge people for what they go through because we don't know what their fight is. We don't start in the flesh in the same place. You understand that everyone starts with different starting points. They have different fights. In the Spirit, we start in the same place. And through the Spirit, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome everything in the flesh. So, Gary said, as I was laying there in the bed, and my world stopped. And the grace was on me, I have to tell you. The grace was on me, there was no fear. But it was a different place. And if I'm emotional, it's because I had a stroke. It's not because I'm sad. I mean, just if even the other day we were watching a commercial and the Sappy commercial came on, my whole family turned to look to see if I was crying. I'm like, stop it. But Gary told me, he said, look, I've been where you're at, laying in the bed. And he said, I know what you're thinking. How am I going to provide for my family? What about my future? And Gary said, you're going to make it through it. I had the same thing. Not a stroke, but the same situation. Laying there with a death sentence and a sentence of, your whole world's over, buddy. And all the questions, for the longest time, God wouldn't answer a question. I'm like, well, why are you quiet now? You were talking like crazy before. Now you're quiet, you know? And it's like when your kids, you have different voices for your kids. There's the voice of, hey, good job, you got an A. There's a voice of, get in and clean your room. And then the second time, get in and clean your room. The fourth time, get in now and clean your room. The tenth time, right now, get in there. Time to go to bed. When they go to bed, they become negotiators, It's amazing how when they go to bed, they want to talk. And I get the best cuddles at bedtime. Oh, Daddy, I want to cuddle with you. Okay. And you have different voices for your kids. And there's times when you're encouraging them. There's times when you're kicking them in the rear. There's times when you're strengthening them. But when they're really broken, there's no voice. They're just holding. So for the longest time, he wouldn't talk to me. Yeah, it's just because he was affirming, we're going to get through this. Just keep walking. So if you don't hear anything, it's okay. He's right there. Do you understand that? No matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, these aren't tears of sadness. I just want you to know. This is his grace. No matter what your battle is, don't believe the lie of the enemy that it's because you failed. It's because you're unworthy. It's because you haven't done enough. You're not good enough. You get up. Don't hide. Go to the Word. Go to prayer. And get to work every day. Don't change course. don't go down the little white corridor the devil opens up for you and says, I have your answers right here. It's all laid out. And you don't have to fight for it. You just get to walk this way. So many believers choose that path because they don't want to fight. We don't judge them for that. But you're on this path of love because God saw in you enough to finish. Otherwise, he wouldn't be happy to let you go down another path. One where, you know, I'm afraid, what he said with Gideon's army. When they didn't have enough anyway to win. And so God said, okay, everyone who's afraid, go. And if you think Gideon was a great warrior that they were following, Gideon was the least of the least. And then he said, now the next group, when they lean over and drink the water with just using their mouth and not using their hand, make them go home. These are guys who are willing to fight. But God said there's not enough in them, so make them go home. Well, listen, you're Gideon's army. You look at yourself and you go, me? Why? Because he sees in you enough. Because what brings victory is not of the flesh. It's not of your upbringing. It's not of your schooling. It's not even of your strength. It's your ability to trust God and receive from him his strength, his grace, his hope. And don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Amen. Well, I want to pray just his grace is here. That means he wants to trade our weaknesses for his strength. You may feel lost. You may feel abandoned. The devil has a pile of circumstances. It's like you're in court, and the devil walks in with this huge box of evidence that says you're not going to win. What God told you is a lie. You're not good enough. His evidence against you, evidence against God, evidence against everyone around you. Proof. Big boxes piled up, and on your side of the court, it's one little box. And it says love. And that's all the proof you have. I just have this, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Well, I got all this proof right here. I got evidence to show you. Look what happened to so-and-so. Look what happened to so-and-so. Look what happened to you. Look what's not going on. Look how you prayed. The answer hasn't come yet. It's because you're not good enough. Because you fail. Because he doesn't notice you. Someone's better. All this evidence. You're not strong enough. And all you have is a little box you open up and it says, nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ. That's all you got. It's all the evidence you have. Faith is the substance. You know this. It's the evidence. So faith is the substance of... Oh, good. I thought I was in the wrong church. Oh, my gosh. It's the evidence of things not seen. In this walk with God, the devil will make sure that God's your only hope. He's your only answer and the only evidence you have. The only evidence you have is faith. He told me. God told me I would do this. But look at all the evidence I have that says it's not going to work. I got proof, the devil says. I got proof and proof and more proof. That's why when you look at me, please, when you see me go through my battle, don't say, oh my God, if Alan could have a stroke, then what can the devil do to me? If you're going to get anything from me, then look and say, look at him not hide. Look at him not stop. The devil tried to use some generational curse and say, your dad died at 36, you're going to die at 46. But he didn't. I'm not dead, I'm still here. We don't accept that. We accept the word of God. So what I want you to do is just take a moment and set your hands up. And whatever you're feeling, whatever your battle is, whatever the evidence that the devil has stacked against you, it's not enough evidence. The Word of God is truth. And He is all we need. Father, right now, what we're seeking for cannot come from a man. Can't come from a preacher, can't come from the anointing, has to come from you. And that's your grace. And every person listening has access to your grace. No matter their struggles, their failures, no matter their weaknesses, no matter their bad decisions or their good decisions, we have access to you right now. And we receive your grace. And we declare that we won't quit. We declare that your truth. We declare the devil's a liar. And we declare that we are already victorious. And we thank you for your strength. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, our life is not our own. We belong to you. Thank you. Wash away any bit of fear that people are walking in. Fear that you will not receive them. Fear that you will not finish the course with them. That your grace will wash away that fear. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Isn't he good? Hallelujah. And that grace is always available. Again, even if you don't feel it, it's there. It's there. You lift up your hands to worship him, and you don't feel like it, you don't feel like he's listening, he's right there. He's right there. He's there for you. Amen. You are released. See you at 10 o'clock.